Hello, welcome to the Lately in JavaScript Hangout. This is episode 39, if I remember correctly. And as before, I have here Artur Sosins, the now almost practically official co-host. Hello, yeah. Artur, how are you doing?
Hello, Manuel. Hello, everyone. I'm actually quite great now, feeling warm and fuzzy here.
Yeah, and you are wearing a nice antenna in your head.
That's better?
Yeah, now you look like a telemarketing attendant, but never mind. Well, today we are going to talk about many, many interesting subjects. The things that happened in the latest times, mostly in January. And we are going to start precisely about an article that I found interesting regarding setting intervals on with JavaScript. I mean, periodic callbacks that are invoked when calling or setting interval. And let me increase the font here. And basically, this is a solution for a problem that happens because set interval function is not meant to be accurately run on the exact number of sections that you specify. I think the time just starts counting right after you return from the function. I'm not sure yet. But anyway, the claim is that it is not accurate, and there is even a screenshot here of the timings that appear.
Yeah, basically it says that it's not only inaccurate, but the error is also cumulative. It adds up all the time, and you get the offset bigger and bigger offset.
And this is interesting because some time ago I was just thinking about this because I have an animation library that is supposed to make the animation steps run on the specified amount of time. And since it is using, I'm not sure if it is set interval or set timeout, but I think the effect is the same. It does not exactly run accurately, and sometimes the delays are noticeable. Here you can see some milliseconds of delay. So the solution that the guy implemented here, it's a bit tricky. Artur, did you look into this? What did you think about the solution?
Yeah, well, basically he counts the time together with what have passed, and he uses single set timeout calls and tries to compensate for the offset that already happened and executes the next tick for a little less amount, just to try to compensate. And well, there was a lot of debates about this solution. Some people saying that it is a poor solution because set interval could actually have higher priority to the calls than set timeout and could be more efficient. Others say that it is actually the bad thing about set interval, that it has higher CPU priorities. So as I said, there were lots of debates, and it all depends basically on, do you really need such an accurate solution for your application or not?
Yeah. Well, for me, I think it's interesting for applications that require accurate timings. I was mentioning an animation library, and it is supposed to run on specific time intervals. If you say this fade effect should only take 1 second, if it starts taking much more than that, it will slow down the user interface, or something that is supposed to happen after the animation is not happening at the right time. Well, I don't know. I personally thought it was a useful problem to solve. I don't know if the solution is perfect. I did not have the time to examine it in depth. But I certainly will look at it closer because I probably need to implement something as accurate as possible for repeated the tasks that are supposed to work on specified intervals. Well, okay, but let's move on. We have other topics to comment. Let me check here. We have another, this time it's another article that talks about, well, it's basically an opinion, not exactly something that you should consider to be something that will necessarily happen here. It's an article about trends for 2014 in the JavaScript world. This is an article, let me mention the name of the author. I'll try to spell it. Dr. Axel Roschmeier, if this is not the correct spelling, I hope you can excuse me. Anyway, it mentions about five technologies to look forward in 2014. So it's basically a suggestion of something that is trending. He mentions ASM.js, Parallel.js, ECMAScript 6, Web Components, and CSS Grid Layout. From these five, the one I was not aware was Parallel.js. Artus, what do you think about this suggestions for JavaScript technologies to look in 2014?
Well, I think we have already talked about Awesome.js, and I actually saw a 3D game, cool 3D game made by it that can be run in Firefox, and it was already the last year, so I would not say that it will be only 2014 years technology to look for. It was already used in the game, and yeah, probably nothing more about Parallel.js. Well, it seems to be some sort map filter reduce implementation in JavaScript that can be used to solve some problems. About ECMAScript 6, this is something I actually really looking forward because the standard, I understand that finally something more to object-oriented will come to ECMAScripts, including the JavaScript that has been missing for a long time, that I miss a lot, actually.
Do you think that the browsers will start adopting ECMAScript 6 or not this time, not this year?
Probably not this year, but even if they would not, that I think that Node.js and other such JavaScript applications that would really benefit from OOP approach would adopt it.
Yeah.
Well, then about web components, that was an interesting idea that I was not aware of, that actually the components that run on the JavaScript would you would not have to worry about the whole page, but only about specific modular component without knowing anything other that uses the that called shadow DOM element that is not actually a DOM of the page. That was quite interesting.
Yeah, this we actually commented a long time ago. In a past episode, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago or something, I'm not sure. Basically, this is yet another interesting thing that depends on browser adoption. If the browsers do not support this, you cannot benefit from it. But well, I think it's interesting, and eventually it will not be as tricky to implement ad support in browsers as ECMAScript 6 because there are differences in the language versions. But in this case, this is just a feature that gets added to the browser, and if you use it, fine. If you don't use it, nobody will be concerned because it won't affect your the compatibility of your browser-based applications.
True.
And finally, I think CSS grid layout. I don't know if you want to comment also about this.
Well, I can only mention that before CSS, there was a table layout for designs. Then they were deemed bad, not usable. People moved to CSS.
But and then we get actually, back.
Yeah, actually, lots of things that you could complete with table layout, you could not do so easily with CSS. And so I think that people are coming back with the CSS grid layouts.
Yeah, the reason why I'm laughing is because table has turned into a religion, and I thought it was odd because tables are necessary. And they always keep talking about the web standards as if tables are not defined in web standards. What is the HTML standard for defining what tags should be supported? And this one tries to work around by defining, I think it's more CSS tricks. And it's basically implementing tables and pretending that you are not implementing tables.
Exactly.
And what's hard, it's you cannot pretend in certain environments. For instance, if you want to send email, you cannot use CSS because the email systems, like for instance Gmail, totally filter all the CSS you put on the HTML. So if you want to put things in boxes aligned by each other, you need to use tables.
Yeah.
So my advice is stop being so religious because it's getting in the way to make it work as needed. It's not a matter of being consistent with what many people claim that tables are bad. Tables are not bad. They are useful for a purpose. And I think CSS3 also adds some table layout attributes. So you could use those attributes in things that you are not tables, but they will be aligned as tables.
Exactly.
So I think it's silly to pretend that tables do not exist or are a bad thing. And basically, this CSS grid layout is I want my tables back. Well, that's my opinion. Of course, there are more people that are more sensitive to these arguments, probably have different opinions.
And they will trash us for these comments, but no.
Okay.
It's true, so.
Yeah, but you know, people do not always agree. Else, actually, it's the chances are that people always disagree on things. But let's move on other topics of interest. This time, I just want to comment briefly on a library that I found interesting because it shows the power of things that you can do already with JavaScript that you probably thought you would not be able to do because it would be too heavy or something. Basically, it's a OCR library, optical character recognition. Exactly the kind of thing that usually takes a lot of processing because it needs to examine some images to be able to recognize the text that is written on those images. So this Okra.js is a library that is basically ported to JavaScript using mscripten, which is a compiler that converts
native code, C++ code to the ECMAScript compatible with JavaScript code.
Yes, and it has been used by many projects that have been implementing things that you did not think it were possible in JavaScript because you thought it would be too slow, but in this case they use the mscripten compiler to convert it. Well, I have not tried it, but I think it just shows there are not really so much limits to JavaScript as people thought before.
There is actually a demo a little on top where you can either drop images or try to draw your own characters and see if it recognizes it. You can scroll up, scroll down a bit, and...
Where is the... I'm trying to find a link.
No, there is no link. Right, here is a demo, you see?
Yeah, so you need to...
You can just draw, I don't know, a T letter. It probably could be easier.
It's almost working more or less well. Well, it's similar. You still need to edit the OCR thing. But okay, intention is what matters.
Yeah, well, it actually only 1 megabyte size, and I think it contains no training data, so just the export already trained model or something like that. So
yeah, well, without having it trained, I think the works are pretty nice.
Yeah,
I mean the results. Okay, but this is yet another interesting library, and we have many more to comment ahead.
So it means in the end, what we have, we develop captchas and then develop JavaScript libraries to solve captchas.
Good point. Actually, I remember that, but I forgot to mention it now that now JavaScript is fighting JavaScript.
Yeah.
I mean, web pages will be defeated by other web pages. So your captchas need to be improved, need to be so obscure that not even humans will recognize them. Okay. But now we are going to move on to another topic. This time it's the... I was already there. And it's the Frida project,
yeah,
which is basically... from what I could understand, is a way to embed JavaScript to script web applications. I mean, desktop application, native applications on Windows, Mac, Linux, and iOS. They support iOS, but they don't support Android. that has a meaning. They probably do not like Android and Google. They like Apple.
No. Actually, what it does... What?
Well, Android is Linux, so...
No. They actually inject Google's JavaScript engine into the process. Like, so they attach the process and allow you to manipulate the API through JavaScript. So they are using Google technology.
So they just do not like Android because... Because they like iPhones and iPads and iThings. Okay. Well, this is just a brief mention that I think it's not the first time that somebody tries to use JavaScript to embed a scripting language for native applications. Yeah. But I thought it was just worth mentioning. There is not much to see here. There is not a demo. You would need to build a native app to actually see this in practice.
That's mostly for hackers that would like to dive in and check out how the things work.
Well, if you develop native applications, it's probably useful for you, but, well, it's not my case. Anyway, moving on with another sort of related topic, which is the introduction of HTML5 desktop applications with Node.js. This is an article that teaches you to use Node WebKit module to develop desktop applications. I thought it was a nice tutorial here. I've never tried to develop any native desktop applications. I mean, desktop applications using this Node WebKit module, but I thought it was interesting not only because you can build applications with this module, but you can also have it bundled.
Yeah.
So if you are looking for a full solution, it also do the packaging, so you can already ship your product. I don't know what are the dependencies. I suppose it depends on Node.js to be installed somehow.
It will require Node.js to run, yes, but still it's quite impressive.
Yes, What I meant is that does it bundle Node.js inside the package, or do you need to install it separately?
From the tutorial, I think you needed to install it separately, but I think it might be even possible to bundle them together.
Well, if you are, if you have plenty of time to study the topic, that probably you'll be able to do it. Anyway, moving on to another topic, also related with somewhat unexpected tasks that now you can do it with JavaScript. Again, another library ported with MScript, and which is a video conversion library, videoconverter.js. It can even demonstrate it's working, but it seems to be taking some time to load.
Well, it weighs 25 megabytes, so yeah.
Maybe later. I thought the demo. Oh, okay. It's the demo that is faster. Yeah, the demo here shows the output of the program. Basically, this is a port of FFmpeg.
Yeah, it's also done with MScripten.
Exactly.
So basically, you can turn any native app into JavaScript runnable in the browser app nowadays.
Right. And then export all the logs so you can see the logs. Well, anyway, it takes some time, like FFmpeg originally, but that's okay. What matters is that it works as needed.
Yeah.
And it took 32 seconds almost to complete. To convert a WebM video to MPEG-4. And it even allows you to download the resulting video from this demo page. Well, these MScripting conversion libraries are becoming pretty common. Maybe they are no longer newsworthy, I think. Because now you can expect to do everything in JavaScript as long as you write it in C++ and then convert it with MScript. And I think that's the conclusion of this. Because, well, it's not the first time we talk about libraries that became possible thanks to
MScripten,
right? So let's move on, and this time we are going to talk about something that is also not exactly new, because we already seen projects that convert PHP code into JavaScript, and this one here is actually an interpreter. It's Uniter, and it's still in an alpha stage, so there are things that do not work. But basically, what it allows you to do is to write some PHP code and have it interpreted by JavaScript. So, if for some weird reason you have written some PHP that you don't have the time to convert it to JavaScript, you can actually use this library to run it. I tried some things here, but they didn't work. I tried some of my classes, but for some reason they are not supported, so it seems it work only with the basic Hello World.
Well, that is exactly what I wanted to say, that you can take most of the PHP classes that does not use some kind of internal built PHP libraries functionalities, but simple kind of algorithm classes, and convert them to JavaScript classes.
Actually,
them on JS classes.
Yes, but actually this is not really a converter. It's
interpreter. Still, you can create the JavaScript app to run the PHP code, which in the end does what you want.
Well, I don't know if this allows you to generate the converted PHP into JavaScript. I think it's just an interpreter.
Just interpreter. Yeah.
So maybe future versions will actually generate some JavaScript. Well, what is interesting here is that it actually interprets the PHP as you type it. So if you have syntax mistakes, it immediately shows you, and it even tries to show the exact PHP error message that would appear in your scripts. It works. It supports classes and things like that, but not everything in classes it supports. I could not figure exactly what it didn't support, but
well, as you see,
some things are not implemented.
You also need to like expose some functions, I think, to make them work. So it might be not that easy to just copy the code and execute it. You must expose some interfaces or something like that.
All right. Now I'm seeing the code on the right, what it means. You need to expose, as in if you don't expose, it doesn't care.
Probably expose actually would maybe allow you to call JavaScript function from PHP. Well, it's actually kind of confusing. I don't know exactly how it should work, but...
Probably it's for you to implement those functions in PHP. Let's see if that's what we get. CC. No. Because there's some get CC here. No, that's not what it means. I'm guessing too much.
If you do like echo from info objects call method get CC or something like that.
Yeah, well, maybe you could show me what you are doing.
I'm unfortunately on single screen currently, but I can try typing you. You could try something like this.
Yeah.
Maybe this is going to work.
Let's see. Oh, I see. Info. Get CC.
Because it passes some kind of info.
To an author.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I know what you mean. Well, this deserves some study if you want to learn how to work. Now, for applications for this kind of thing, what could be maybe some interpreter, PHP on the browser to let you teach PHP and do a PHP version of Code Academy, maybe.
Actually, that could be that is an awesome idea. Yes.
Yes, I think Code Academy already supports PHP, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. I have not been trained to learn PHP lately. let's move on with another interesting project. This time is WebKit.js, which is basically a part of the WebKit engine to JavaScript. Oh, don't tell me this is yet another MScripting library. Because I could not find exactly what happened here. Is it just somebody crazy that...
that ported it all manually, yes?
Test for JavaScript C++ needed to be developed. I don't know. I suspect there is some MScripting magic here somewhere. Cygwin, the pod tools. Oh, there it is. MScript.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm fed up of MScripting. It's so boring now.
Well, probably not so easy, but still.
Yeah, somebody has to suffer and deal with the MScripting options to make it work. But, what happens is that we have results, and if you want to have a browser inside a browser, now you can have WebKit.
But can you have a browser inside the browser inside the browser?
Yeah, well, that's the question. Maybe there will be some flaws in the middle, and you cannot do that. But anyway, this is probably to implement
testing.
Maybe some headless browser on the server like Phantom.js, but this time based on WebKit.
Yeah, it could be used in testing. It could be used in taking screenshots of the websites. Lots of awesome stuff.
Right. All the things you thought would not be possible because it requires a full-blown browser. you probably be able to do with this. Okay, now we are going to move on with another library that I think it is, I suspect that it is probably also done with MScript, and I don't know. let me share the screen here. It's basically a web ODF, which is an editor for documents like OpenOffice. ODF is the open document format, so it should be able to allow you to edit and create documents or even view them in this format. And this is interesting because it seems to be more powerful than the regular HTML editors, and you can embed it in your pages, unlike I think Google Docs. You are not able to embed it in your pages, right?
Well, that's because Google does not allow it, not because it's not possible. Probably.
Yeah, probably it's possible, but they are selfish. They do not allow you to do it. Actually, I was trying to edit here. I can edit some things, but not other things. For instance, I cannot resize this picture. Maybe I'm not supposed to be able to resize it.
Yeah,
but it works. Other than that, it's probably not a full-blown editor. I can insert pictures.
You can insert, yes, but you can't resize them.
I can't resize them. Well, anyway, it is interesting to see. I was trying to see in the original project page if it says MScript.
No, it does not. I already checked, so I don't know.
Well, maybe it's MScript, but they are not telling because, oh no, I'm not going to tell because those guys in JavaScript podcast are going to start making fun of all the MScript libraries that were converted. Yeah. Well, anyway, I think this is useful, probably more useful than those traditional HTML editors. I don't know if it actually can save HTML. It says it uses HTML and CSS to display the documents, but I don't know about exporting. Well, it should be able to export because it's probably the easiest thing to do, unlike ODF that has to be converted.
Yes, probably. But well, since it only offers the document format, I can't find how to export the HTML also.
Maybe you can convert it later or something, which is very, very odd, but okay. Well, anyway, this is just to mention this library may be converted from MScript or not. We don't know because they do not reveal the details. But so we are going to move on to another topic this time, just to mention about an article that I actually wrote about a class that I posted in JS Classes site, which is basically to view differences between text strings and eventually generate patches. This is not something exactly new. There are other libraries, but I needed to be implemented in a specific way that I could use it in the browser and also on the server. So there is a version for JavaScript and a version in PHP, which is in PHP classes, and it is mentioned on this article. Basically, here the article just explains how it works. You can compare two texts in three different modes, by character, by word, or by line. Most frequently, you compare text by line, so it is easier to see whole chunks of code that change. But sometimes you need just to see some words that change, which is the case when, for instance, class authors publish, edit the descriptions of their packages, there is a moderation process to review if the descriptions are in good shape, they do not contain mistakes, and only after that the changes are published. So when the descriptions were long, it was hard for me to figure what exactly the author changed. So I developed this library, so I could actually see them on the browser in real time, because if I edit the changes, I also can see what still changed or not. So it can mark the deleted text as deleted, and the edit text here appears in bold or underline, and the text that stayed, it just remains in the same style. So it is usual to see differences between texts in real time as you edit the text. And if you just want to show the differences but not exactly rely on JavaScript, there is also a PHP class version for this library, which has practically the same name but is in the PHP classes site. And for some reason it stops the screen sharing. I was trying to show it, so I was not looking. Did it stop screen sharing from the beginning, or?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh damn! I was talking about something that you were not seeing. Oh damn! Let's go back again, and here it is. So basically, I was saying that this is a library. This article is talking about this difference library. There is some code here that demonstrates how to call the class. You just call the diff function, pass the text before and after, and pass also an object that will return the results. This is an interesting aspect of JavaScript. In PHP, I would pass a variable to a function. that would return the value by reference. But in JavaScript, there is no such thing as passing values by reference. So what I needed to do is to pass an object.
Object, yes.
And store any values in that object, because the objects are not copied. They're just passed by reference. So the called function would be changing the object called in the calling function. Anyway, I also mentioned the results here. You see some strike through and some underline text for
new text
that was deleted or added, and the regular text remains the same. And the styles of these are configurable. So if you are not happy with this formatting, you can configure it in the class. And other than comparing the texts, you can also apply patches. So the results of the difference function can be applied to the text before, and it returns the text after. And the function call is here. As I mentioned, this was useful for a specific case of allowing to see changes in text that was done on descriptions of moderated objects. Mm-hmm. Classes in either JS classes and PHP classes, but could be useful. Artus, I don't know if you ever would have any other applications for these kind of things.
I am certain that I saw similar solutions in C++. Are you sure you just didn't convert it to JavaScript?
Oh, yeah, no, not really. Actually, I developed it in PHP and then manually tried to do the same code in JavaScript. That's why I mentioned that aspect of passing values by reference. And I had to figure how can I pass values by reference in JavaScript. And I remember that this is a very specific feature of PHP, because most other languages do not have that feature of passing values by reference. Probably Visual Basic. Yes. Or C sharp, because it's almost an evolution of the Microsoft Basic thing. And well, anyway, that just briefly mentioned this because this object was this article was posted on JS Classes blog, and this is just also a reminder of any author of objects posted in JS Classes can also have their articles about their classes be published on the JS Classes blog, and so get much more exposure. Every package has its own blog, and by default, when a new blog post is submitted, the users that have previously downloaded the package get notifications about this the features. I mean the articles that are posted, but you can also flag the article as featured, and it goes through a moderation process, and if it is considered to be useful to other users, that even if they have not used your class, it gets much more exposure because it gets published as if it was part of the JS Classes blog. So nowadays, if you publish like an article there, it gets an email sent to all the JS Classes subscribers, which by now is probably about 16,000 or something. So it gets quite a reasonable exposure, much more than you'd get by yourself. So if you want to get additional exposure to your packages because you have done something that is generally useful, you can just feature flag your article's feature, and there you go. Now moving on to one final section before the regular is that this month, actually we're already in February, this is still supposed to be the January Hangout, but since we are already in February, the results of the Innovation Award winners of the year, I mean 2014, were announced. And let's see who has actually won this year. I don't know.
Who could it be?
So the winners are well, actually, we have three winners. In 2013, there was a tie between Franz Josef Brunner from Austria, Jonathan Gotti from France, and guess who? Arthur Sossen from Latvia. Well, congratulations, Arthur. I also already sent congratulations to the other winners. And there will be a separate interview with each of the three. Unfortunately, it is not possible to record with all three at the same time, which would be ideal. So I'll be recording three separate interviews and publishing a separate video with all the interviews one after the other. So regarding Arthur's opinion, it's not the time for you to tell me about it. I'll get back to you in your interview when it's time.
Okay, sure.
And well, just to mention that it was great to actually see there is a tie, because it's the first time. And for now, the prize will still be an elephant for each of the winners, because there is not yet a mascot for JavaScript for JS classes. Maybe it's something that who knows can appear next year, but somebody would have to create a mascot, hopefully something that is well reckoned as the mascot of JavaScript, not specifically of JS classes, like there is the elephant. But anyway, the winners will get an elephant like this. It's a bit shy because it has its ears. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I'm sure that Arthur's already got his one an elephant like this.
Yeah.
So you only have one kid, right?
Yeah.
So we are going to get a new elephant, so we need to have another baby.
So no, I'm building elephant army.
Yeah. Just to motivate you to send more JavaScript classes with an elephant. I don't know if that's the right motivation. Now we're going to move on to one regular section on which we comment about the nominees of last month, December. It was actually November. So they are published in November. Then in December they are nominated and were voted, and then in January the results come out. So it's time to already talk about these packages. And there it is again, one package by Arthur Sozin. Arthur, can you comment a bit about your package?
Okay. Well, basically, it's something created for Opera users.
You may want to
screen share.
Yeah.
Let me try. I think I can also try to increase that.
Yeah, that's it.
So yeah, that was basically 2013 year was a dark year for Opera users because Opera moved from their default engine to a Chrome WebKit engine and dropped lots of great features that Opera had, and one of them was the Opera Notes that I was actually using quite a lot. And this is how they look like. Simply what you can do is store multiple notes, and I actually added quite a lot of other features that I was missing from original Opera Notes, like printing notes, like for example you can now use tabs and lots of stuff like that. That basically I made it web implemented, and it can now run in any browser like it does in Chrome. And I added the feature that I needed the most, and there were lots of other users that started adding other features. So yeah, basically it's a great component for all Opera users that are missing the popular Notes app from Opera.
Yeah. Well, so basically it was a good thing because then you developed something that was actually better than the original, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course I'm using it and improving it if I find something time. And as I said, there were lots of comments from Opera community, and it was actually quite kind of great.
Yeah, I can see there was somebody commenting here. At least you have one comment, somebody requesting some features, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting there are some Opera fans, since it's not by far a dominant browser, but there are many loyal fans.
But all the cool stuff came from Opera team. The tabs, yeah. Opera had it first, the speed dial, like the notes built in Mail client, there had really lots of actual great stuff for not only developers but also just internet browser users.
So if you want to know about the future of the browsers, first you use Opera and then
yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Okay, now I also would like to comment about the other two packages. One from Mark Rolich, a regular contributor of the JS Classes site, and there is the JS Image Magnifier, which is very interesting, probably an effect that is common in many sites, especially in e-commerce sites on which you want to probably see the details. I mean, an image in detail, so you can drag your mouse over an image. I don't know if this is large enough. And you can see it in Zoom. And this is interesting because it's not just a scaled up version of the image. It's actually two images, one small one and another big one. So despite you are dragging the mouse over this picture, in reality, the picture that you see on the right, it's a high resolution picture, which even looks better than the original. So this is interesting. So congratulations to Mark once again. He developed another interesting package. He had already sent many packages, about 10, and 4 of which were nominated to the National Award, including this one. So I hope he continues to send more interesting packages like this. And finally, there was another package that was also nominated from, and is from this one.
Oliver.
Yes, it's from Oliver Lewin Angel from Mexico. And this one is more to implement Facebook Connect on the JavaScript side, but I think it does not rely on the JavaScript libraries that Facebook provides, and I thought it was interesting because of that. And well, with this practically reached the end of this hangout. We tried to run and mention all the libraries that we had this time, so we are going to try to not mention as many in the future because it takes a long time. But I hope it was worth all the time, even though many libraries were based on MScript.
Yeah, exactly. I think that would be the reason why you would diminish the amount of libraries reviewing, because they mostly be MScript and wipes.
Yeah, maybe I could mention just this bunch of libraries were ported with MScript.
And with them all, yeah.
And just mention it for once. Anyway, basically this is it. And on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Okay, bye.